Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. We don't have an intro tonight. We're waiting on Dana this morning, rather. We're just going to go straight into this. And this was Reverend Tillman that you all see down there in the corner. That is a regular part of the show because we keep a full staff here. We got something for everybody's needs. And we're all equal on the show. And we all bounce ideas off of each other. And when he comes with something and he says that I think that, you know, this needs to be addressed, then we're going to do it. So today we're not going to, you probably won't hear a whole lot about the police or some of the recent cases, but this is something I think is near and dear that America is kind of struggling with right now. It's Christian identity. Exactly, you know, what is Christianity, which I call, I think America practices a form of colonial Christianity where we just fell in line with what's been taught. I am not a biblical expert. I don't try to be. I stay in my lane, but you know what? There's a ram in the bush. I know where to go get him. Dr. Marla Faces up there, Reverend Tony Timmer, we're waiting on Dana Stevens. So we're bringing people today that can get into this topic and that can go where I can't go, obviously, with it or you know, Joe maybe, I can't. And if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-4621, press 1. We'll get you on, but we'll go around the horn, let everybody introduce themselves, and we're going to get right into it. Big John, what's going on, bro? How was your week?
Oh, man, it was an amazing week, man. Every week seems to get better and better for me, man. Life is good, man. And learning to make the best of situations. I just heard someone said that God is good. And you know what? He's good even when I feel like I'm not receiving what I want. Yeah, it may be for a reason that I'm not receiving what I've been praying for, but you know what? I'm blessed in that situation. I have life, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it, especially from where I came from. God is good.
Okay, take a couple seconds, John, because for new people listening, people who will see this later on the YouTube, people who are viewing it, that they don't know exactly who John is and where John has come from. So take a few minutes, you know, and tell people where you come from and you know, because, brother, you're a story all by yourself.
Thank you. Yes, I did, for those who are just tuning in for the first time, I did 24 and a half years in prison. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I was wrongfully convicted. There was a lot of things that were done to me that was not just, but I sat in prison 24 and a half years. While in prison, I hadn't reformed myself. A lot of people sit around and tell me, well, they don't do this for you in prison. Well, if you want to change, you have to be that change that you wanted to become. So for me, instead of having XXL magazines and writing on magazines, I had Black Enterprise, entrepreneurship magazines, and I began to study and read. I came out after 24 and a half years with about $3,500. I purchased a used vehicle truck, and I began a delivery service. And in 6 months, I owned 6 trucks and employed 7 young men to keep them out in the street. So, and from there, I started my dog business. I sold hair. Sold oils and soaps, passed those business on to my children. I was able to give a couple of my kids trucks to start moving companies. And now I moved on to building a app, which will be out soon. So unfortunately, what's going on in India has kind of delayed it. But, you know, like I said, I'm a blessed man. And when you know that you're blessed, you walk in it. You share that blessing with everyone else. So God's good, and this is the perfect show. So thank you for giving me that opportunity, and I want everybody to be inspired because we are not products of our environment. We are products of our thinking.
Now that's right.
The Bible says, and Tony comes behind me and corrects me, the Bible says that so as a man thinketh, so is he. And when we begin to believe that we're defeated, we will be defeated. But if you believe that you are blessed, know that you have already have the victory and just walk in it because the devil can't take it from you. You could only give it to him. So walk in your victory. Today's show is going to be powerful because my main man is at the helm. And we're going to keep a handle on Joe over here. So.
Hey, John, but you did something the last couple months that you had never done in your life, that America told you you can't do. What was that?
Oh, man, listen, man, for the first time, I'm 53 years old. For the first time in my life, I voted. And just going through the process, and it was the encouragement of Stan and Joe. Joe was a big help for that because Joe would call me and say, hey, John, I was embarrassed. And there's a lot of people that embarrassed who never voted before, and that was part of the process, and too afraid to reach out and say, hey, man, I don't know how to vote. And it took Joe, man, you know, to encourage me and tell me different things, and, you know, and I'm still learning, and that's the beauty of it. But, yeah, that was like a big monument in my life, something that I would be proud of, because guess what? Trump ain't around. I'm part of that.
Amen. Let's do this. Go down. Big Joe, what's up, man? How was your week, brother?
Man, you're going to ask me to follow that? Come on, man. Only thing I can say is that, you know, there's some titles that we kind of miss. I have to give this to the brother. I call him Jamon for a reason. And that's a total of respect in the Muslim world. I call him that because of that. And as he just said, that as worldly as a little boy just gave, I can't follow him. All blessings to all of you, but to that brother right there that just spoke,
yeah.
I showed over it. I'm about to go drink some coffee. I'm done.
Oh, that's right.
Before I get to the attorney, I got to, you know what, I met Reverend Dr. Marla on another show, and I listened, and she gives inspired words. She does videos like we see so many people who do video evangelism, if you want to call it that. But the difference is you get so many on your Facebook every morning, somebody's live, and you're scrolling through it. It's not that what they're saying isn't important. It's just you're moving about your day. But this lady, she'll be talking, and you listen for about, okay, I'm going to give this 30 seconds, and then she's speaking to you. And then you say, well, I got stuff to do, but do I really want to click right now? I'm not getting everything. And I was impressed for several reasons. You know, because she's a black female, that's impressive. A doctor, a minister, but a minister, not a preacher, a minister who was out there doing what she says. And I was so humbled. I asked her, could you please be on today? Because between you and the other guests and Reverend Timmer, we're going to take the understanding of Christianity because I need to learn a lot about it because I struggle with America's definition of it and what I see out here. You know, and James Baldwin said, I can't believe what you said because I see what you do. So that's what I struggle with. So, Reverend Doctor, would you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Marla Facey. I am pleased, blessed to be able to be here with you all. Thank you, Stan, for that, because I don't consider myself anything but what God made me, which is amazing. I'm amazing because of God. It's nothing that I do within myself, and so for all that, I give God the glory. But most of all, this topic itself, obviously, is like colonial Christianity. I mean, because I talk about stuff like that. I haven't ever called it that. But when I started looking into what colonialism is and stuff like that, I said, wow, this is what we're dealing with in America right now. And I mean, you know, when I speak on my show and stuff, I go to God and I say, God, what would you have me give your people? And it's not that I live a perfect life. God knows I'm not perfect by any means. I'm trying to walk in perfection that Christ gives me, but I'm not perfect by any means. But I love God. I love God, and I love God's people, and I love our people. You know, mm-hmm. not just like as in just black people, but I love the people of God. And what would I be if I wasn't able to minister to the Word of God to His people and to those that don't know the Lord? To see, just like the young man that just talked about where he'd been in prison, I grew up in foster care. I grew up in foster care, and I was known to be a statistic. I was supposed to be that statistic. You see what I'm saying? My brother My brother spent probably longer, off and on all his life. I'm 55 and he's 54. And he's been in prison probably 30 to 35 years of that time, in and out of prison. And so, as a female, I was supposed to be a statistic as well. Maybe not necessarily, a lot of black women don't all wind up, more black men wind up in prison than women, of course. But the thing about it is, we're supposed to be on the streets. We're supposed to be doing this and that and the other. God saved me from that type of lifestyle, but I don't ever put anybody down for it because I understand that if it wasn't but for the grace of God, there would I be as well. And so, he took my path a different way. I've had my struggles. I still go through my struggles. I've been divorced twice. I'm remarried. We've been married 18 years. I have 4 children. I've fostered children. I've adopted a child. I've guardianship children. And so I just want to make a difference in people's lives, that where they are calling and saying, what must I do to have the Lord? What must I do to be saved? That's what we're supposed to be here for, to compel those to come. And so for me, it's just about telling people what thus saith the Lord, but also showing them God's love. You know, and the world has lost out on real love because we're dealing with that settler and exploitation mentality. And we're going to get into that more because I'm definitely going to talk about that. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. This next brother, I met about a year and a half, almost 2 years, probably 2 years ago now. And I saw one of his videos in a chain. And everybody's liking this video, shared thousands of times. And I said, I listened to it, and I was just stunned at the detail, at his description of events and how it's relative not just to Christianity, but how it speaks to me. As a black man walking in America struggling with what does Christianity really do to me and what I've been taught, and this brother just broke so much of it down. And I reached out one day on Facebook, and I said, the guy's probably busy, I'm not going to, and I heard back. And he came on the show about a year and a half ago when I called him and said, hey, would you come on? He's like, yep, I'll be there. And this is the founder and CEO, since we were talking about love, of One Love, out of Chicago, the Rebbe. Straight up, when we talk about taking God to the problem, this man is in the hood doing the good works. Brother Dana, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Stan. Thank you. I hope I can live up to what you just said.
No, you're good, brother. How's everything up there?
It's well. I purchased this new the Ring doorbell, and I have it on alert. And I tell you that the thing when I say it's good, but I also say that it's not good, is with spring and the temps raising up, so are the shootings and the violence in the neighborhood where I live. And just last night, there was over 45 alerts on my Ring doorbell on my cell phone, to make me aware of what's going on. And that breaks my heart. And I do believe, we know the reason that we're talking about it today, called colonial Christianity. But I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Just preparing to keep doing what the Most High Yah has called me to do.
Brother, I appreciate you being here. Now we gotta go down and got the man. This is your show.
Oh,
today,
yeah. Oh.
Witnessed the NFL draft. The LA Rams are in a great position and will be. We have got a little sly issue with our bats with Dodgers baseball. We got LeBron back.
Okay.
Sun is shining, air in my lungs, and I contacted Stan about this topic today, and I'm glad that we had a good discussion because, what I'm coming out is, I wanted to, it's not about converting people. And anybody listening to this show today, I don't want them to think, oh, they're going to try to convert me. No, it's not about conversion. it's not even about planting a seed at this point, because you can only plant a seed if the ground is open and willing and open to receive it. So it's not about that. It's just purely education. And, you know, without having a long intro, basically, everybody probably here and many listening hated history in school. And you know what? To a point, that was me too, and I don't blame you. It's a shame, though, that our history was actually adulterated by people who wrote the history and people who actually allowed these certain books to go into academia and lower education, you know, curriculum. With that being said, if you don't understand history, you're, you know, destined and doomed to repeat it. This country, known as the Americas, North America, has never really told the truth in one, I would say, iteration of what actually happened before Christopher Columbus, during Christopher Columbus, after Christopher Columbus, and what's going on now before George Floyd, as George Floyd was being killed, and then now that George Floyd is dead, what's going on now? How do those relate? How are we going to connect the dots between the Ottoman Empire and George Floyd? And those are very much connected. So, thank you, Sam.
All right, my three experts, you guys take this discussion away. This is unscripted. That's the beauty of it. It's real. It's just throw it out there because people want to know.
Oh, shot.
Come on.
Okay, first of all, I was looking up. I said, you know, in order to talk about this, you got to kind of do your homework a little bit. So I looked up the word colonialism, what it really means. And colonialisms are the policies and practices of acquiring full or partial political control over another country to occupy it and settlers exploiting it economically. The state apparatus that was dominant under colonialism. And so one example I think of when I think of that, I think of slavery and how or England or even like the country of England taking over India, the colonial domination, and I think about the Jim Crow. You know, if we want to look at it in a more modern time of the Jim Crow and domination, that domination policy pursued by the powers of our white government, and so. A colonial system is so to break it down, it's controlled by one power over a dependent area of a group of people or certain races of people. And so they conquer and they set out to conquer certain populations by exploiting them, all in the meanwhile forcing them and forcing their way of life, forcing their language, forcing their cultural values upon the very people that they conquered. And so in order to understand that more, I realized that there was actually two types of colonialism, and that was the settlers, which are a large scale of immigration, are largely most often motivated by religious or political or economic reasons. And then the second type is the exploitation type, which involves fewer colonists but focuses on exploitation of natural resources, overpopulation and labor, and typically to benefit people that are taking control, that want that control. And so for that, I was like, you talking about America. That's what we've done. You know, that's what we've done with, or they've done with our people. And I don't want to make this all about race, but, you know, it does break it down to that, you know. So, go ahead. I just want to kind of put those definitions out there, and then we'll talk about Christianity, I guess.
Brother Dana, you're shaking your head. Let me have you go next, and I want to chime in after you, brother.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what Doc is saying. You know, colonialism is a nice word for communism.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the characteristics of communism and you look at the characteristics of colonialism, it's the same thing. They just kind of go in different routes. Just so that everybody knows, I used to be a Christian. And no longer I have denounced Christianity. I graduated from Moody Bible Institute, and throughout these last 6 years, which we might get into that, I had a revelation from the Lord, from the Most High Yah, where he revealed to me what I have seen and experienced living on both sides of the fence. And what I mean by that is, as you can see, I'm white, and so I want the panelists at least know that there's nothing you can say or do that's going to offend me as a white man. Truth is truth. Truth is greater than facts. Facts change, truth remains. And so the truth of the facts are is that my people have not only colonized the United States of America, but they have colonized everywhere they set their foot across the globe. And they've done it initially using the religion of Christianity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because we brought in this religion and the Bible that we have made white. We whitewashed it. We set up the Ashkenazi Jews, which I believe I do know are not the true people of the Most High. They're not the true chosen people. Actually, those of you that are on this panel with me are the true chosen. But to cover up and to colonize and to indoctrinate people, we don't educate, we indoctrinate groups. This is what we have done across the globe. And so our initial thing that we do, we send evangelists in the name of Christianity to begin to change the mindset of the people in building up white supremacy by then bringing in the image of white Jesus, bringing in the image of the white Jews to affirm our indoctrination of Christianity. And then we've done our damage. And I just got back from Ghana, and I took a journey through the slaves and the captives. It's life-changing. But the damage that my people have done through the religion of Christianity and through colonization has transformed this world. And it's not done it in a good way. And so I just know that this 400 years that we have lied and we have manipulated and we have acted in the spirit of Esau, where we've gone to conquer and tear down and to destroy cultures, as Doc was saying, people, you know, we've accomplished that. And as a queen, I believe she was a queen over in Africa, but she had said that the missionaries came with the Bible, and by the time they left, we had the Bible, but they had the land. That while we taught them to bow their head and pray, we robbed them. And when you look at what Christianity has done that was followed up with colonization, that's exactly what we have done. To every place we have set our foot, and the heart of it, the empire of Babylon the Great, is the United States of America. And so that is where I am at, and so I'm very open, you know, about where I'm at. I am not throwing out Jesus Christ. I am not throwing out my faith.
Amen.
But I've thrown out the religion of Christianity. Because at this point, I'm not going to decipher what's the truth in that religion versus what has been the lies in that religion. And just fix the damage that that religion has done. Because Yeshua, or Jesus Christ, didn't come to set up a religion. He didn't come to set up a church building. He came to set up us as people living a lifestyle in our homes, in our stores, in our communities, in our schools, wherever we go, that causes people to say, wow, something about that man, something about that lady. And so that's where I am now in my journey. But especially as a white man, you know, I don't think there would be any German person that would say, well, hey, you know what, I don't mind being associated with the Nazis. I'm just going to try to take away the bad things that they did and try to change the image. That's how I deal with Christianity. And so I myself have stepped out of it, denounced it in my life, and I am now what I call a converted, or I've embraced the true chosen people of the Most High God, which are you, and I am now living my faith out as a follower of Jesus Christ, doing what he called me to do in the lives of the people around me.
All right. Well, perfect. Well, man. Yeah. It's hard to go behind that. But what I want to do, I want to level set this conversation, because I won't be able to get to the point that I want to get to if I don't kind of, you know, reset it and just have what I call a campfire meeting right now. Just a campfire talk, if you will. Now, some people who don't enjoy history may find this boring, but I want to know if any of you have ever heard the history, the story of how we came to be that actually flowed, that was factual and also, you know, enlightening. Now, what I'm going to do with this campfire meeting is just explain the story to you about this country, about this land, and how, if you've never heard of the Ottoman Empire, look them up. They have a great deal of influence with this Americas. The Ottoman Empire had a huge grip on all of the trade routes to Russia, to Asia. That was problematic for the Spaniards, who were losing trade routes to the more dominant people, which is the Portuguese. That is why the Spanish bankrolled Christopher Columbus to go find other trade routes to the Orient, because the Ottoman Empire controlled all the other routes. Columbus was supposed to be trying to find another route to the Orient. He rediscovered this land called the New World. When the Spanish found this and took it over, they, and just let this thing here, they then had enough power to go to the Pope Alexander VI, and say, hey, we have got, you know, more land now, more influence. Can you make a treaty between us and our rivals, Portugal? Pope Alexander VI said, yes, we're going, and look this up. In 1492, Columbus rediscovered the Americas, this land here. 2 years later, there is a treaty by Pope Alexander VI called the Treaty of Tordesillas. In 1492, two countries, Portugal and Spain, decided, we are going to divide the whole earth into two. This is a true story. Portugal said, well, the Pope had said, everything that's going to be to the east is going to be Portugal, everything to the west is going to be Spain. That included what Columbus rediscovered, the Americas. Portugal got ticked off and said, you know what, because this Pope Alexander VI is Spanish, he gave too much good land to Spain. We're still going to go to war. So the Pope decided, okay, I'm going to move the line a little bit further west, and that way the east will have more land to you, Portugal, which is why, does anybody ever really wonder why is it Brazil is the only Latin country that speaks Portuguese, and every other Latin American people country speaks Spanish? That's because Brazil was given to the Portuguese, given to Portugal. Now you fast forward. It's 1494, 1500. You got the colonies that are building up in America that are in control. Now, why do we have British colonies in America? It's because the Europeans ignored this Treaty of Tordesillas. They're like, well, we're going to go to discover land. So the British came to the Americas, and you got this constant conflict and war between the Spaniards and the British, along with who? The indigenous people, who are fighting off all these enemies. Russia is coming in from Alaska and California, and you got the Swedes are coming in from the north. The Indians, I hate to call them that, the indigenous people are trying to protect and fight off, but there's too many enemies that have far more superior weapons. So now you kind of fast forward, and the British are here, and they fall to a great extent the Spaniards that were here because of their weaponry. Now what do you have? The British brought in smallpox. The Indians, the natives, the indigenous people were not very prone to slavery. They did enslave a lot of them. They also killed a lot of them. Why is that? Because the indigenous people were weak to the European sicknesses. Now, you fast forward to John Rolfe, who had these, and you can look it up on the charter that John, all we have about John Rolfe landing in the Virginia colonies was that there was a charter that we found that week, but that was found that said, this guy found a merchant ship that was bound for Spain that had 20 and odd Negroes on it, and it landed in 1619 in the Virginia colonies. What the colony did was traded food for these 20 and odd Negroes. There was no plan at that time. Are we going to keep them forever? Are we going to just let them work and then leave? You know, what's going to happen? Now, remember, 1492, Christopher Columbus rediscovered a land that wasn't his. 1494, the Treaty of Tordesillas, which divided the whole earth in two, which is really crazy. 1619, the first black-skinned people are enslaved in mass into this place called Americas. Between 1619 and 1775, the British were enslaving more Africans because it became huge with what? Tobacco, rice, cotton, okay? Now, and all this is written down, okay? All this is factual. Now, during that time, Europeans were also enslaving Irish, but the Irish were not considered slaves. They were considered indentured servants working right next to African slaves. What is an indentured servant? We have a contract. You do this for this amount of wage, and then you can leave. That's not slavery. Now you've got this, but during that time, everybody, from in the 1500s, when the pilgrims came, before we ever had race, we had religion. And so when colonial Christianity came about, it came about to explain and to what I call infuse white-skinned people, you're automatically Christian. And if you're black-skinned and you're red-skinned, like the indigenous people, you don't have any souls. Now you're saying, Tony, why is that important? Because I have to get this point out, because I'm telling the story for a reason. Colonial Christianity does not have Jesus in it. It is an adulterated, misunderstood, mistaken type of false religion, and that's why many people, black, white, atheist, not, can't stand Christianity, because they look at what it was designed to be, a pyramid. One on top, everybody else on the bottom. Colonial Christianity, and we have to, and I'm sorry, but we have to thank, or not really thank, but blame Roman Catholicism, because a lot of that came from Spanish Catholicism, because they had to, and I'll get that point later, had to kind of tweak Christianity to appease slave owners. What do I mean by that? What happened when the slave owners were talking about Christianity, they had to keep it in context where they knew it was wrong to keep slaves, but they were making too much money off of them. Mm-hmm. So what happened? They started to preach this gospel that blacks, Indians, natives, whoever, they don't have souls. Only white-skinned people have souls. Therefore, they are worth converting. They are worth saving. So they preach the gospel, this adulterated gospel of Jesus Christ to the white-skinned people. Here's where it backfires. Later on, black-skinned people started to feel the pressure and converted to this colonial Christianity. But when the black-skinned people converted, they went to their slave masters and said, according to this belief system, I is a free man. I is not supposed to be bought and owned by is nobody. They articulated it the best way they could. We're not to be slaves. So then here is where the colonial Christianity, Roman Catholicism, Spanish Catholicism, and what you have as a quote-unquote, what they call a gospel of wealth today, okay? They changed the gospel into being, you can only be blessed if you bless me. They're the pyramid. God is white. Jesus is white. If you're a brown-skinned person, you know, your life is servitude. Now, we can call it prosperity gospel. That's what we call it in modern-day times now. And a lot of black and brown preachers who have admitted that they have preached prosperity gospel never knew the origin for that. The origin of, I want all of y'all right now to give $10,000, because if you do, there's going to be a check coming to me. That started from colonial Christianity, which was a demonic sense of just a nasty type of religion against Jesus. I can get blessed, but Lord knows when you bless me, the windows of heaven are going to be open, and it's going to bestow upon you blessings upon blessings. So don't pay your light bill. Don't pay your gas bill. Don't buy that hamburger. Leave church broke. Make sure you broke, but give all the money to me, because I represent God, and if you see me blessed, you are going to be blessed. That is where this prosperity gospel, people call it, started from, was back in the 1500s as they were trying to convert people into Christianity when the black slaves finally realized, hey, wait a minute, you know, back in 1519, okay, I'm going to get converted, but I shouldn't be a slave. So that's when they tweaked it. Now, I want to stop there because I want to pause and give some people a chance to talk. So either, you know, John, Brother Dana, Dr. Marla, or Joe, whoever wants to come in, this is what the crux of this show is. Really not even reading, but explaining to people the truth. If you hate Christianity, if you say, I can't follow white Jesus, I can't follow this pyramid one on top, you were actually, you know, I feel for you because you did not really hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's really as if Brother Damon had gone to my mother and said, hey, Tony told me to come get a vow of knowledge from you. And my mother said, really? Tony said that? Yeah. Well, Tony said it must be true. And I would tell my mother, I don't even know. I don't know him like that. I did not send him in my name. That is what Jesus is saying about colonial Christianity. I don't know that mess they're talking about. Yeah, there were slaves back in the day, but I don't know who they're talking about. They're talking about some other Jesus. Now, I mean, that is what Jesus is saying about this colonial Christianity. That is not me. So I'm going to be quiet for now.
So let me ask you this. Here's a question for you all. So is there a connection between colonial Christianity and modern-day beliefs?
Yes. I believe the whole system, our whole system has been created for the white man, heterosexual white man, if you want to get very detailed, to be at the top. Everything in this nation, every system, whether it's the education system, whether it's the policing system, whether it's the correctional facility, which is the modern-day cotton fields, everything has been created with an element to indoctrinate the truth that white heterosexual man is at the top. We have a white Jesus to prove it. Look at how white America is blessed. Because we bless Israel and we're Christians and we're carriers of the gospel. And just to back up, and I don't want to take over, so please tell me to shut up, but just to back up what my brother just said, when I went to Ghana, I went to the slave castle, I went to Amin Manso, which was where the last bath of the captives took place. From there, they were transported by foot after 300 miles, some of them, to get to this fast, this river. They were sold, they were branded, they were brought to a castle 30 miles away. There were two castles. The original castle that I went to was built by the Portuguese. They originally came, as my brother just said, for trade. Another thing that became very popular was the coffee bean, or the cocoa bean. And there's an interstate in a loop that's named after a Ghanaian. They used to swallow these cocoa beans and then regurgitate them. But once they got there, what they realized is that the Ghanaians or the Africans were strong people. So one of the lead father that was there with the Portuguese that came to teach Catholicism, Christianity, natives, was very close to one man. What I was told over there is one of the things they were learning, as my brother said, is that a lot of the indigenous Indians that were here in the United States were not strong. That's what they said. They were not strong, nor were they capable of really carrying out the duties of farming. And so this priest, this head Portuguese priest, brought this black man, this African man that he was mentoring in the gospel, and sold him into slavery because he was a strong man. And when
when the Portuguese or the colonials here in the United States saw how strong this man was, his capacity to farm and to do what was necessary, that kicked off the slave trade. Now, in this castle, there were the dungeons on the first floor. And I'm not going to go into great detail. But what I want to highlight is what was on the second floor. Not even what was on the third floor, or even on the fourth floor. The second floor was filled with all your missionaries. All your missionaries were on the second floor, living their lives, evangelizing the slaves or the captives that were dying and starving on the first floor. There was a church in the middle of this castle where the Portuguese worshipped while the captives, and they called them captives, that's why I'm using that language, literally were in these dungeons for up to 3 months, suffocating, dying, bleeding, and barely eating. Because they figured that if they gave them just enough to live, only the fittest of the fittest would survive the long journey to the Americas. Then I believe it was the British that came in, and the British wanted the Portuguese, and so the British kind of lured the captives and the natives and the Ghanaians and the Africans to kind of abolish this slavery, but the whole scheme of it was for them to take over. And so when you look at that, you know, Christianity is at the foundation of the slave trade. It was the Catholicism of the priest that gave the okay for it to happen and literally sold his man. And that's why I believe to this day there's such animosity or mistrust between me as a white man and you as my Hebrew brothers and sisters or my African brothers and sisters. Because the core of Christianity was built on profit for us as white people. And so the other neat thing about it is one of the main marshals was named James. Thus, you have, when I was there, I took a small trip outside of Accra to an area called Jamestown. As we were driving out there, the tour guy, who now I've really become good friends with, said, do you know, Brother Dana, that this is where the lost tribe of Judah have been residing for centuries? The lost tribe of Judah. That's why I believe that you, as my black brothers and sisters, that have ancestors that were brought here as slaves, are, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the lost tribe of Judah. You are the jewels of God. That's why you are so valuable. You're not only valuable when it comes to the physical work that you have done to build this nation, but you are valuable when it comes to all the gifts and talents that America would never be where it is if it wasn't for your inventions, if it wasn't for your, you know, everything that you've done. The first place where in 1619, as my brother Tony said, landed in the United States was Jamestown. And guess where the other slaves were taken? To South Africa, called Jamestown. So this whole colonization, Christianity, to me is Babylon the Great. When you look up the Hebrew word for Babylon, it says it's a religion that claims to be the truth, but their actions indicate that it is not.
Yeah, now I do want to say one thing.
Colonization or Christian?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done talking there.
Yeah, I'm talking. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't want to cut you off. But I do want to, and thank you for those words. I do want to unpack and say one thing that I stand up for. And it is, and I respect, you know, your views and how you feel. Now, just according to me as a Christian pastor, Christianity was not about race, it was not about color. True Christianity is not colonial Christianity. I just want to make people, you know, hear my words. The fact that Christianity was about Jesus Christ, God himself coming in the form of man and dying so that man
to inherit the kingdom of God. Man adulterated and twisted it out of greed. And that is why when I hear people say, you know, Christianity is this, and it's responsible for all these deaths and slavery, and that's part of the reason for this show is to explain, no, listen, Christianity was about love. It was a love story, how a man who knew no sin became sin so that the average person walking the earth could become, by faith, the righteousness of God in Christ, which is that person. That's Christianity.
Hey, Tony, let me pose a question since I got all three of you here. I got the doctor and Reverend Dane and you. And this is just something that I hear so much of and I struggle with. And it is the white Jesus. That the golden hair and the blue. I struggle with that. And I know a lot of listeners probably struggle with that because we may not know exactly where to go find the answer. So between the three of y'all, can y'all just take a minute and explain? Who exactly was Jesus? Was he Caesar Borgia that we see plastered up everywhere? You know, because I think we have to be able to identify with what you guys are saying, to draw something to say, this is us. I have a connection here that transcends having to fulfill whatever Christian Sharia law is out there.
Okay, all right. You know, I'll go first, and hey, Dr. Marmer and your brother David. But number one, if you look at the region where Jesus was born, he was born in Jerusalem. Now, if you say he was a man of color, okay, the Bible doesn't specify what color he was. When we get into the book of Revelation and they say his feet were like polished brass, you know, that has to do with the walk. His walk was on fire, and it was a symbolic type of description of Jesus. His hair was like lamb's wool. You know, the hair being white as lamb's wool, he was all pure. And so it wasn't really where he had white hair, he had black feet, and people like to paint Jesus as a black Jesus. I don't know if Jesus is black, white, polka dot, or purple. I'm worshiping him, and I'm going to kiss his feet when I see him. Now, the end of this, for my talk is, this is why God himself said, have no graven image about heaven, anybody or anything up here. That's one of the commandments because God knew if I leave it up to y'all to even try to draw or paint your image of me, of my son, of the Holy Ghost, of heaven, man has a weakness. I can only worship what I can relate to. And so he said, ain't none of y'all seen heaven. None of y'all have seen God. Nobody has seen God live. You've never seen Jesus. You've never seen God. We come to you in dreams, but people say, what did Jesus look like? I really can't describe. Exactly. So when you see this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, that is Michelangelo's interpretation from way back when, and black and brown people have been angry, rightfully so, but my brothers and sisters, don't be confused. That was a man who painted another man who was a model for that picture. Jesus does not look like that. Get off of the color because God himself said, don't try to draw nothing up here because you haven't seen it. So Dr. Marlon, go ahead.
Now, I was like, yeah, you pinpointed it because he's really what we all see in ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We like to look at somebody or visualize Jesus being more like who we are. So we put in our minds and say, oh, well, I'm black, so Jesus must have been black. Or, oh, I'm white, so Jesus must be white. So that's how we put him in. But you nailed it. You nailed exactly what I was, that's what I would say. And there's five basic beliefs of Christianity to begin with. And that's the uniqueness of Jesus, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, have a perfect birth. You know what I'm saying? One God exists in three persons. He's the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the necessity of the cross, which was salvation, and he is the resurrection of the second coming, which is combined. So when we take into consideration about what we are to believe in, you know, it's already been said and already been spread, it's already there. All we are supposed to be doing is walking our soul salvation out in fear and trembling. We're supposed to be walking like Christ would walk, talking like Christ would talk, loving like, because he is love, loving like God would love. All this other stuff, I would call ethics, you know, with all the stuff that, that people, like you said, you know, people have built up Christianity. But where is it? It's religion. That's what that is. Christianity is a religion. It's not a relationship. And that's where we have to, that's the difference in what we're trying to present, talk about right now. It's about your relationship with God and making you walk the way God would walk and the way God wants us to walk and how Jesus wants, you know, talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. You can't separate them at all. And so I look at it, well, you know, I mean, I try to look at it the way God has given it to me, is that I don't look at, you know, as to being a white man's religion or a black man's religion or any of that kind, because I don't want to have anything to do with religion anyway, you know, because I call that, for lack of better words, I would call that the new Trumpian Pharisee. You know what I'm saying? Trying to live as though they're perfect, trying to have people assume that the way they're doing is all right when they don't have a real relationship with God in the first place. When you have a relationship with God, you can love all people. You're supposed to love all people. I'm going to let it go. Somebody else can go.
Okay, Brother
Daniel,
go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of will say that I come from a different end of that. I think that when we take the color of what Jesus might have looked like, we're doing exactly what Christianity wanted white to do, and that's to make color not important. Color is not important, but it is when most of your white evangelicals, and it has even gone into you as my black brothers and sisters, the idea that color isn't important. But it is important. Because you can't find somebody that's coming to return if you don't know what he may really look like. And I say that just because how did a white Jesus, which we're saying he's not white, I think we're all agreeing on that. But I've been to Israel. Israel actually is a part of Africa. Again, Christianity has separated Israel and made it the Middle East. When you go over there, Israel is actually a part of Africa. So Jesus had to be a dark man. Otherwise, how did he hide from Egypt? How did my white people survive working in the Egyptian sun for 15, 15 hours a day and not burn up? I couldn't do it, and I'm a white man. So the reality is that Jesus is a color. We need to preach his color. And this is why I say we need to preach his color. It's not that you're going to get saved or unsaved because Jesus was black or brown or this. It's the condition of the hearts of the people that will refuse the truth that the Savior of the world had black skin and not white. And then how do we find his true chosen people, the Hebrews, if we don't know kind of what Jesus looked like? And to me, Christianity teaches that to be a Christian, you must back up and support Israel.
Yeah.
Well, what if we're supporting the wrong Israel? What if we're defending the wrong people? Isn't it important that we know who the true Israelites are or the true Hebrews are?
But let me ask you a question, if we do, you know who the true Hebrew Israelites are, how does that affect your eternal soul? Here's what I'm getting at. You see,
that's where I'm at.
And then see, man right now, Brother Dan, you got some really good points, a lot of good knowledge, but man right now, mankind is at a point where he and she are too weak to accept a colored Jesus, whether he's white, black, brown. We're not at that point yet because everything is so divided. And see, one thing about the Bible, when the jailer, and when I won't give a Bible study, but when one man who was not saved asked a follower of Jesus, what must I do to be saved? It had nothing to do with color. It had nothing to do with who is the true chosen people. This follower of Jesus told him, believe on Jesus, you know, in your heart, and you will be saved. And that man was saved, and his household.
And see, what I can't do, I just don't want us to continue the lunacy, and I'm not calling you crazy, please, you know, forgive me, but I don't want to continue the lunacy of colonial Christianity still weaving its way into the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are saved. Right, that's the true essence
of Tony, let me.
Everything else just kind of comes with, you know, what I would call parsley on your plate. It's added there by other people, but that was not the intent of the chef, which is God himself.
But Tony, for me, and I'm not, my biblical knowledge is nowhere near you all. I'm just speaking as standard normal person who believes in Jesus. This is where, you know, I agree with Dana. Color is important. Not that it's a defining factor. As far as mankind not being ready, the indigenous people weren't ready for what they got. The slaves who were brought here weren't ready for what they got. And I think because of colonial Christianity and its infusion into the very fabric of America produces a contradiction of patriotism. We'll go to the Middle East to fight against Sharia law, Islamic Sharia law. You shouldn't be able to do that to those people when America itself lives under a form of Christian Sharia law where we've got a whole political party called evangelicals who not only violate church and state, they write it into policy, they vote on it, and these same evangelicals who say I'm pro-life until when? Pro-life to who? We want this baby here, but at what point does the baby's rights now become unimportant? So I say that to me, I don't, even the audacity of this show, we are not concerned with whether people are ready for us or not ready. Whether their feelings are hurt, we have no sponsor. They can go listen to something else. This is the beauty that I like here with you guys. My question is, I'm sick and tired of waiting on those who are in control to get comfortable with my condition.
They're never going to be comfortable.
Exactly.
They're never going to be comfortable.
Thank you.
Exactly.
And that's why I have to speak out the truth the way I think truth, because the 400 years of your oppression, America is the last empire. It's the feet of the statue in them that has enslaved God's chosen people. That's why you look at Egypt. They have like an eagle. What does America have? An eagle. What did the Roman Empire have? An eagle. What did just those three empires have in common? They all enslaved God's chosen people. And so the 400 years is up. 1619 to 2019. 2020, do we really believe that the civil unrest and the plague called COVID-19 is just a happen chance? Or is it now the turning of the judgment of God? Because the time of us Gentiles, the time that God will show favor on America, not because America was living a godly, good Christian life, but because he was using the Gentiles as a tool to make his chosen people selfless, to return on him. See, that's what Christianity also taught wrong. We haven't been blessed as a nation because we do things right under Christianity. We've been blessed according to Romans that God would put his favor on the Gentiles in hopes to make his people jealous to return to him. But when the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled, when the time of Esau has been fulfilled, the seed of Jacob will then rule for all eternity. That is why the fullness of the gospel isn't just Jesus Christ. That's for salvation. Don't get me wrong. I agree 100% with you. But we can't talk out what we need to do here on earth. The chosen people, the true Hebrews, just because Jesus returned, your purpose as a nation of people living out the true gospel hasn't gone away. It will always be. You've been set up until everything has been remade. And I know a lot of people want to jump to the scripture that says, well, in Jesus there's no longer Jew or Greek, Hebrew, male or female. Well, if that is true, then why does the Christian church have issues with gay marriage? Because you still look at the sex of people here on earth, Now why do you want to say when I bring in, see, this is the thing that has fascinated me over all these years. Nobody will come against the lie of the white Jews that don't make sense. But yet they'll scrutinize every other little color difference or who Jesus might be. That's because Christianity and the whiteness of it has infiltrated your mindset. To the point that you're almost back up that, well, we'll live with this lie because it doesn't matter. And I'm not stepping on y'all's toes. I'm just going with what my frustration with colonization Christianity and how it has even infiltrated the mindset of people of color across the globe.
But then, Dr. Ron, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with what you're saying, but the thing about it is, I guess I'm at the kind of mindset is, you got to pick your battles. Something, for me, is not, I'm not going to say it's not important, because it is important, but what, until we all pull together and actually agree and learn to work together in that, we're not going to change, you know, the whole Republican Party or the whole, you know what I'm saying?
Their mindset
still need to change.
Yes,
they're not going to change. You know, and so my thing is, you can only be responsible for your community that you're, the surrounding community that God actually places you in to make those changes. I can't change Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or any of those Republican people or whatever. I can't change the minds of those people because I'm never going to see those people. So I can't change their minds whether they... I've gotten older and say, you know what, you just got to pick your battle. And that's a battle that I can't really do anything about as much as I'd like to. And I do believe what you're saying. I do believe that. But I, you know, my thing is like, if we can just get people to, in our corner, in our neck of the woods, to make a difference in those that we, you know, have a hand on, then I can't worry about whether all the Republicans are going to need to face it. That's why they have those, you know, the George Floyd Act. George Floyd's death brings about a change, and we can take it into Congress and stuff and make some changes. But if George Floyd hadn't ever died, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. You see what I'm saying?
I think
the fight, you know?
Yeah, but that's the whole reason for this show, is to talk and shed light on the colonial Christianity, because colonial Christianity has you know, intertwined itself into real Christianity. And, you know, Danny, you have a lot of good points as far as, you know, how, and you're very, you know, which I love, you know, because you're passionate about how you feel. And there's a lot of people, be it Christian, non-Christian, pastors, leaders, who speak for Christ. And sometimes I have to ask them, have you ever spoken to Christ? Because a lot of people, and I'll include Joel Osteen on that, who I admire and like to watch, but he's been a terrible mouthpiece for when it comes to Christianity and how Christianity feels about homosexuality. Now, when I say about a bad mouthpiece about Christianity, he gives a great message about Christianity. What I'm getting at is that they keep going to him and asking him, how do you feel about Christianity? Which is, to me, asinine, because that's his own personal view, how he feels about it. But what they don't do...
Christianity ain't a feeling.
Well, exactly. But what they don't do, they don't go to anybody who's Muslim. What does Islam say about homosexuality? They don't go to the rabbi and say, Rabbi Itzkin, what does Judaism say about homosexuality? They always zone in right on homosexuality, right on Christians about homosexuality. And what I want to just bring out, and we can have another show about this, Stan, I love to, about a debate. When you read Genesis 1:26, this explains one big reason why God did not want man with man and woman with woman.
All right.
It is really about, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, the way T.D. Jakes explained it, I love it. It don't mean that me and Dana can't date and hook it up and
have a good relationship and confidence work. Because two men can do a lot. Now, I'm married to a woman and I love women, but I'm just saying God's initial and the way he still feels, why is every single species, male and female, it was to reproduce. That is why. And when you get into it, I'm sorry to any homosexual who's listening to me who has said, Tony, nobody has treated me more worse than Christians, than on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of the kingdom of God, on behalf of Christians, I apologize to you. Because God's intent was not that you would be ostracized and kicked out of the church because of who you love. It was only because he wanted you to reproduce. But he knew adoption was going to come into play. God is not crazy. He knew about artificial insemination. So, Tony, what's your point? Why do you think he sent Jesus? He sent Jesus because he said, I still have a problem with homosexuality. But you know what? I'm going to make that problem become Jesus. I'm going to put my anger. I'm going to put all of my discipline and my torment on Jesus. So now this is true Christianity, away from colonial Christianity.
Right.
What God was saying, no matter who you are, gay, straight, lesbian, whoever you are, if you are in the boat of Jesus, then you're going directly in my direction. All of that stuff, I put all of that anger on Jesus. So he only wanted men and women to get together to reproduce. And again, read Genesis 1:26 in the King James Version. He says to fill the earth. To your point, Dana, Dana, to your point about Babylon. Why was it? I'm doing a teaching on Monday about Babylon. It's so funny to be having this discussion. Babylon, with the Tower of Babel, was started because the people that left the boat, was started, number one, Noah had three sons. Ham was the great-grandson of Nimrod. Nimrod started the Tower of Babel and Babylon. Why did they do that? Nimrod was the one that invented it. And if you don't believe me, read the writings of Josephus. Josephus, the great historian, said, Nimrod said, I am going to avenge God for him killing our forefathers. And if he ever tries to form another flood, we're going to build a tower so high we won't be able to be flooded and we won't be scattered across the earth. But God had told them, after they got out of the ark, go all over the earth and multiply, fill this earth, go look at what I created. But those people were wicked and they decided, no. We're going to stay right here. So again, to any homosexual, the reason why God wanted them to fill the earth and see what he created was because he wanted you to reproduce. But you say, Tony, I can adopt. No problem. Put your heart in Christ. Go live your life. Adopt your children, and I'll meet you in heaven. That's what I'm going to say.
Hey, let me inject this real quick before I bring John, because I want to get y'all's opinions on this. When I hear all this, and I want to kind of bring the conversation more up to now, and because I love what I'm hearing, because I'm getting that background history that I need. But when I look at America and I see every hate group in this country has a Christian base, and I don't hear any of these evangelical, righteous, mega-preacher Christians calling for Christianity to perform the enema on itself that we called upon Islam to do because of a few terrorists. We wanted everybody who was Muslim to apologize for the acts of a few. When we look at the Aryan Brotherhood, the Aryan Nation, the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, whites, when we look at it and it's deeply rooted in Christianity that gets a pass, we give the Christian church a pass. Jerry Falwell and the rest of them, we never called them to the carpet. And said, Jerry, what about this part? Oh, well, we've got black Christians in our church, and we have friends and family day. Who cares? See, young people, this is James Baldwin. I can't believe what you say because I see what you do. We can profess Jesus. We can hold all the scripture we want. But when these young people see any of us as a Christian, but they don't hear you speaking about these hate groups, who are rooted in Christianity, wrapped in it. And nobody in America, we fought wars. We got young people filling up the cemeteries in Afghanistan behind Islamic terrorists. Islam is bad. Oh, we need Sharia law. And look at what we have done. And these groups today are called militias. You can't call them hate groups anymore, so we'll call them militias. John, let me get you in, and I would love to get y'all's take on that. But John, you've been waiting, brother, and I know you want to jump in here.
First of all, I want to punch Dana in the shoulder for taking up a lot of points that I wanted to make. So I applaud you, man. You're brilliant. You studied. Dr. Marla did a wonderful job defining the colonialism, right? However, for me, the problem that I have is that I need for one of you guys to define to me what is Christianity. Because when I go back and I look and I say, well, Jesus, he did all these things of faith, and his faith wasn't Christianity. So if his faith wasn't Christianity, why are people today calling themselves Christian?
Mm.
Instead of practicing what he practiced. For me, before I go any further in this conversation, because I'm really getting lost, because we can talk about colonizing, but I first need to understand from someone, what is Christianity? Because you can't tell me Christianity when I don't even know what Christianity is.
Dr. Marla, can you go first? And David, I'm going to go last.
Okay, the Christianity is the religion. Notice I said religion and not relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the person and teachings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or its beliefs and its practices. The religion based on the Bible is actually out of the sacred scriptures. There's five beliefs of Christianity, which is unique in Jesus, unique of Jesus, which I talked about the virgin birth. One God existed in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is also the necessity of him dying on the cross for our sins. It is the resurrection and the second coming that are combined. The essence and identity of Christianity. It is a faith tradition that focuses on the figure of Jesus Christ. And that's how I can explain it. That's the best way that I can explain what Christianity is. Now, but the main thing that I want to point out is Christianity, the way that people all over are basically looking at it is don't have that personal relationship with God, are basically looking at it as a religion. Christianity being a religion. But it's a relationship. It's really based upon a relationship between you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot take one of them out and say that it is a Christianity or a spiritual walk. You have to have the three in one as the Trinity. I think that's the best way for me to explain it.
Brother Dana? Well, for me, I go just back to that Christianity was created by Catholicism. Even the word Christian is an English term. You know, somebody said to me one day that when I denounce Christianity, I'm denouncing Jesus Christ. I'm like, no, I'm denouncing the religion. In the Bible, it says that at one point, people will worship wood, others will worship stone. Well, when you look at that, the Muslims worship the stone, star, and moon. Christianity and Christians worship the cross. The fact is, Jesus Christ was never nailed on a cross with his hands up. Romans did not crucify people with their hands up at that time. They crucified them with their hands above their head. So the cross, again, is a symbol of Christianity. That is why I am not going to fight to try to redeem a religion that might have been set to do good, which I don't believe it will ever set to do good. In Ghana, the man told me that we used to be a beautiful country until Christianity distorted. Christianity came in and taught us that we can do certain things to our neighbors, which we shouldn't, but if we do, we can repent and everything will be fine. He said it destroyed the beauty of our nation and of our people because it gave people the freedom to do wrong. And so I've just chosen to live my life, because even Jesus himself told the woman that. Some of you say you're going to worship over here or at this place, but I tell you, in the last day, people who want to worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that truth is what Jesus did not look like. And I'm not going back to that. But I'm going back to the truth that each of us are going to have different grace, and it's going to be very much in our faith. It was in my faith 5 years ago when the Lord spoke to me and told me who you were, because as a white man that went to Moody Bible Institute, I tried to utilize everything that Christianity taught me to help me understand why you and my black family members in this country are so hated, disliked, treated unfairly, oppressed, killed, murdered, enslaved, on and on and on. Number one, Christianity said, well, you're the product of man. Kind of like Brother Tony said. You know, we did teach the original faith of the Mormons taught that you didn't have souls as people of color. Christianity, to try to change it a little bit, said, well, you were cursed by him. And yet Christianity and the religion said that when you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, he breaks all curses, whether it's family, whether it's generational, whether it's because of your being from him. So why are my black brothers and sisters, who traditionally will be in church for 5-6 hours on a Sunday, and us white folk will walk in for an hour and walk out and say, God, I did you a favor. And yet we're blessed. We're not facing what you did. So what? There was no answer for that. There was no answer for this and this and this. And that's when I cried out to God. And one night, 6 years ago, this coming July, another young man was shot and killed. I've been in the inner city now for 27 years. I'm walking with innocent men that are being facing life in prison for nothing. And finally I said, you know what, God? You are a white supremacist God. You have ordained white people to be able to live how they want and never face the consequences of our decisions.
So is that your definition of Christianity? Because I'm just trying to get, what would you say your definition of Christianity would be, was it at that moment or was it afterwards?
My definition now of Christianity is a religion that was created to fool people from the truth and who the true chosen people are. Because Christianity, along with Mormons, and I'm doing a little research now. The Book of Mormon was written originally in Hebrew until the Europeans under Christopher Columbus changed it to the Book of Mormon. Just like the Romans under Catholicism changed what they wanted to change in the Bible to create Christianity. And all those religions, I believe, have been created to keep us from the truth of who the true chosen people are, which then in result, do you know that Christianity taught me not to steal? Christianity growing up taught me that loyalty and love is important. And in the terms. But do you know who really taught me what it means to be loyal and forgive? It's been you, my black brothers and sisters.
Okay. Well,
a world that has tried to destroy you, but yet you've given up your life to fight for the freedom of me, but not you.
Now,
that's the definition of forgiveness. So
okay.
I'll end right here. So what I'm saying, living white in an all-white area under white supremacy for the first 23 years of my life, and now living in an all-black community for the last 27 years of my life, 26 years of my life, I have seen that there are characteristics, there is beauty that is innate in you. As my black brothers and sisters, That is not innate in us white people. That is why it more, again, reinforces this concept for me that Christianity is a religion that has been developed to hide, to disguise, and to fool people of the truth of the book of the Bible.
Okay. All right. And that's fair. And that's fair. And Janam, you know, you can ask three different people and get three different answers. And now, you know, which that is what makes this whole thing beautiful because, you know, everybody has got free will to speak and interpret how they wish. And what I love about the Lord, he deals with us individually, not according to, you know, what somebody said about their own definition, you know, for somebody else. Now, if you ask me, Tony, what is Christianity? And you said, you know, what, since Jesus was not really a Christian, he didn't follow Christianity. And what I can say to that is Jesus was the only one and is the only one who could have died for the sins of the world. I can't fulfill that role. You know, I can't nail myself to a cross in order to, you know, cleanse my sins that I've committed. There are beliefs that do that. You go into the mountains and the Philippines, and every year there are a group of people who climb on their hands and knees. They get nailed to a cross for a couple hours, and then they come off the cross, which is in itself ironic to me, and they build that ritual every year, cleanses them of their sins. But for me, Christianity is being Christ. I can't, for me to actually understand who Jesus was, is, and will be in the future, I've got to read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Matthew. I've got to read the letters that Paul wrote to the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Philippians. I have to get to know him. And for me to be saying that I'm Christ-like, what does that mean? For me, and this differs from what, you know, you may have heard before, Christianity to me is the end-all to be-all. It has been given a bad name. And like Brother Dana has pointed out, there have been men and women who have come in the name of Christianity, but Jesus was not in that. But I cannot denounce the name or the term or the belief system of Christianity because some people out here misrepresented Christ in Christianity. Christianity is being Christ-like. What was Christ like? You have to find out what Christ was like in the Gospels and also in the letters of Paul. What will Christ be like? Read the book of Revelation. Read the book of Daniel. It tells you what Christ will be like. You know, to Dana's point about Babylon and having the end of the Gentiles, yes, that's spoken of in the book of Revelation. It talks about Jacob's trouble. You know, I won't do a Bible lesson, but there are things that are going to come where the end of the Gentiles are going to come. Now, what I love about him speaking and his appreciation for the soul, I call it, of black people. You know, if you ever want to look up these two people, old anthropologists, look up Audrey and Brian Smedley. I love this because they wrote this after the colonization started. Audrey and Brian Smedley, they said the strength of African workers became their undoing. You see, the British colonizers in the West Indies, for example, they saw Africans as a civilized and rather docile population. And that intrigued them because they're like, wait a minute, they're civilized and they're docile. That means what? That means they're accustomed to disciplined organization. These people were not animals. They actually had organizations. They had discipline. They had foundational systems in Africa. Now, unfortunately, you know, for Africans, they were immune to European deadly illnesses. And what am I getting at with that? What I'm getting at is that these colonizers on record said, we noticed the sugar cane, the rice, the cotton crops, with which the English had very little experience with the Africans. And hear this without tearing up. The Africans have either cultivated these lands in Africa or they are very quick to understand and master a task that's given to them. Although, my black people, you have been told you're stupid, you won't be nothing. British colonizers noticed that your ancestors either cultivated these crops in Africa, and if we didn't, my God, do these people pick up things very quickly. So that is an innate thing that you have. John is creating an app. That's in his nature.
to create an app. You know, and just like I was saying about the whole thing about Christianity and people that are coming against it in a way of not being able to really define it, that is up to that person's interpretation. John, I hope that all three of us, I hope it helped you.
Hey, Tony, let me inject something real quick.
Can I respond real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I thank all three of you for your definitions, and it was important for me to understand what it means to be Christian. Dana hit on some points earlier, and I want to just touch on some. When we talk about Bible, Quran, or the Torah, we're talking about living books. We can't speak on it as if it's a history book. It just only serves the purpose of history. The purpose of Scripture is that is past, present, and future tense. So as Peter touched on modern-day Babylon and so on, it reminds me that God foreseen all this. I believe Tony, I believe you talked about adoption and so on, that God's foreseen everything. So he had to foresee our condition. Our condition had to be in those scriptures. And I think in the book of Genesis where it says, Abraham, know of the surety that your seed should be a stranger in a land that's not theirs and should be afflicted for 400 years. But he went on further to say, but that nation which they serve, shall I come and free them and bring them out with great substance. I look at what hip-hop started out in the inner cities of the Bronx and New York, and what it has done to the world, it's the way that it has culturally went around the whole world. But people that was meant to be destroyed was able to do this. And I'm not saying hip-hop was a great thing, but it just tells me about the greatness in the people that's here. He keeps saying, you are the people that the scripture was talking about. So getting back to color and its importance, it had to be important for someone to go out of their way. You have to be, this is not just racism. This is deeper. For someone to go out of their way to color him and make him look exactly like him, because I have a black man do that. And forget and tell people this is what your God looks like. And then to have in the scripture where it says that when you see the, you say it backwards, but when you see the Son, you see the Father, you see the Son, or you see the Son, you see the Father, because the Father's in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. So if someone see me walking down the street and said, yeah, but you see John right there, he looks just like his father. He's the split image of his father. When you see him, you see his dad. So we begin to think about Big John. So this is what this religious madness has done. And it's Islam is madness. And Judaism is madness. We have to tell the truth. I think someone said here, facts change, but truth don't change. We have to tell the truth what religion has done to the world. Has separated people, has divided people, mm-hmm. and has destroyed everything. It's religion. And we want to sit back and say, well, what I practice is not religion. But when you tell me that if I don't worship the way, and I'm saying this to those who follow Islam as well, because my mother never smoked, she never drank, she didn't ever do drugs. She never murdered anyone. But I would have an imam or sheikh come before me and say, if she don't take her shahada, she's not going to paradise. I would have someone say, if you don't follow Jesus Christ and accept Jesus and say he is Lord and Savior, you're not going to paradise. No matter how good you may live your life, whatever happened to righteousness?
Hey, John.
Whatever happened to living, you know, we're talking about love. Love is thrown around so loosely nowadays. What is love? Let's walk in love, but we got to understand what love is. We walk around talking about, oh, God is love, Jesus is love, and you got to practice in love, but what is love? We have to know these definitions. Other than that, we just got a bunch of great bumper stickers. We can say, Jesus is love, we put it on the back of a car, and people run around, Jesus is love. But what does that mean? What does that mean in your life? And I accept, Tony, you saying that you're a Christian. Have no problem with that. But we need to be able to define to the people what it means to be a Christian and not just have a title of being a Christian. That's the only thing I have a problem with. And if I sit here today and say that I'm a Muslim, I have to be able to define what it is that a Muslim is. Because the Muslims haven't been telling the truth either. In the Quran and in the Hadith, the Muslims are looking for the return of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even see Muslims that. The Muslims are looking for the return of Christ. The Muslims in the Holy Quran, the only person mother who has a chapter dedicated after her is Jesus in the Surah of Maryam, which is Mary. We have to tell the truth. Jesus played a significant role in Islam, and for the Muslims who are listening, an even greater role in Prophet Muhammad.
You know, John, based upon what you said, let me inject this in. No, you're good, brother. We're at the 28-minute mark, and I want to just throw this in real quick, Tony, because I'm curious. I got y'all all here. These are questions that I had. So, America, who proclaims herself a Christian nation, if we are such a Christian nation, why do we have so many hungry people, homeless people, marginalized people? If we are the, for lack of a better phrase, the New Jerusalem, without a whole bunch of scriptural references and go look at this, because the average person today, I think they've gotten, not beyond, but they, when we hear, go look this up in this book and that book, they don't want to look at the book because they're too busy looking at what's in front of them every day. So I think we do a disservice to me, to Jesus, when we say, well, if you go look up in this, why do I need to look? I just saw it right there. I live it every day in my life. So how can a nation that holds itself to be a Christian nation, and it's not a few people, the majority of America, in some shape, form, or fashion, how do we address the fact that in our homelessness, our helplessness, the crime, all this crap that we have that contradicts the basic philosophy of Christianity, how do we fix that?
It's because, Sam, that people keep looking at people, and they're trying to look at people. The Bible says, be imitators of Christ, not imitators of Christians. And there are a lot of people in this country who are looking to blame somebody. I'm not saying it's you, and that's the basis of your question. But there are people who are looking to blame, okay, if we're a Christian nation, how come we do this? That's not because of Christianity. It's because of man's greed. Why do we have so many homeless in the street? Why do we have police having qualified immunity? Why do we have the fact that you got the Supreme Court have lifetime appointments and now the court is divided politically? None of this is based on Christianity, but it is people who are saying we are a Christian nation. But this show has explained this country was built on colonial Christianity. What does that mean? 1492, Columbus sold this country. 1619 were slaves. 157 years later, in 1776, this country known as America formally gained her independence with slavery being a part of everyday life. And then colonial Christianity came in and said, you black-skinned people, you have no souls. That's why you can stay as slaves. And that type of Christianity, if you want to call it, has seeped in through 2021. But, Sam, there are people who are representing these problems, not my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are people, there's people who represent, and Sam, you know what I was talking about, the car. There are people who are misrepresenting Christ when they say, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a white man. You're a Christian. Yes, I am. Okay, well, when your daughter came home and she asked you, Mommy, what's a nigger? What did you say to your daughter if you were Christian? When your son came home, you know, Mr. White Man, and your son said, I want you to meet my girlfriend, Shaniqua. And then you had to tell him halfway in the car, and you had a talk with her. You see, Christianity has been a broad term to cover doo-doo, to cover BM, to cover mess. And Jesus has been saying all throughout, which is why I tell people to go to the Bible, because I know people don't want to read, but you're never going to understand Christ looking at people. You're going to only understand Christ looking at Christ and what he did. But if you don't read the Bible.
But Tony, I think people aren't always looking at people. They're looking at their condition that is legislated and put into law by some of these people who take their Christianity and their morals and openly legislate it into law, hence the term Christian Sharia, that me as a person has to live by these rules every day where I lose my freedom. Doesn't matter if I'm an atheist, agnostic, Jew, devil worshiper, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. I have to subscribe to this. So to a degree, we do have to look at these people, because these people openly use the fact that I'm an evangelical Christian when they run for political office.
Exactly, but and that's still my point. And there, and brother, you're there, no problem. But that's part of my point. You don't know if this person is representing or misrepresenting Christianity if you don't know Christianity for yourself. How else are you going to know Christianity but by reading about, I don't know, Christianity from Christ? There are many people who would rather understand Christianity or the walks and talks of Jesus by what a man said, and they never have a book that they hold that says, I've read this. How else can I know that a law is being broken except I know what? I know the law. And that's part of the problem. People keep saying that, yeah, to your point, I'm living this condition because of people, and they keep saying that we are a Christian nation. But they have no idea what that concept is. You will never understand Christ until you understand what Christ actually said and did and stood for. And if you don't believe me, just challenge this one thing. Ask them. I want everybody listening to me, Jew, Gentile, Greek, black, white, gay, straight, I don't care. If you want to know what Christ wants you to do, just ask him. I double dog dare you. And that's not saying, Tony, I'm going to be a Christian. No. Just ask him for yourself. Jesus, Tony told me to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. Why am I living like this? Why does it happen to me? Let Jesus answer your question for yourself. Ask him. Don't ask me. Don't ask Sam. How in the devil are you going to know what's good for you by asking somebody else? You don't see Ford going to Chevy asking them, what's wrong with this Mustang? That's stupid. Go to the Creator himself and ask him, there's a problem with this device. And I need you, who created this device, to tell me how do I fix this device. Don't go to another device. Go to the Creator.
For me, again, you know, we're more deep. When I came into this revelation, one of the biggest things that I had to mourn was Christianity. You can't, the very foundation of Christianity was created corruptly. So there's no fixing this religion. It was created corruptly from the beginning. There's no word of Christian in the Bible. The people were imitators of Jesus Christ, or they were followers of the way. And we created a religion. When you look at Easter, Easter is connecting with Ishtar, which is literally in line with Nimrod. So even the religion of, or even the celebration of Easter is not biblical. Why are we not celebrating Passover? And even when I was at movie, 3 days and three nights doesn't happen on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Christianity has kind of alluded over why that 3 days and three nights isn't a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Christmas, again, is a pagan holiday that the early Christians in the Roman Catholicism connected. So everything about, so when we've been talking here, we haven't even been defending the work of Jesus Christ. We've been more defending or coming against the religion of Christianity, because that religion is so ingrained in us that it's part of our identity as followers of Jesus Christ. The cross, you know, Christianity, that religion, it is so ingrained with us that it's hard for us to take a step back and say, oh my God. And that's what I've had to do in these 6 years, is look at, it's just not some people that have ran off with, it didn't start with Trump. I've been behind closed doors as a white man all my life, and I have seen the nastiness of Christianity.
But Brother Dana, don't forget this. Now, the Easter, the Ishtar, the Nimrod, you know, when you look at the whole, these were pagan holidays. The Lord gave one command when it came to feast. Remember my feast. These holidays were not started from Christianity. It was started from the Roman Catholic Church. I know a lot of Catholics don't like for me to talk about this. Now, here's what I'm going to say. When you look at Catholicism and Christianity, it's different. We don't pray to statues. I know the Catholics don't like to talk about this. The Catholics don't believe that Mary died a virgin. The Christian Bible says that Jesus had other siblings after he was born, then Mary and Joseph got together. So I totally agree with you when it comes to those holidays. That was a marrying of paganism that got into Christianity. But I do want to say this. Yes, the word Christian, and I didn't want to stop you from before, but yes, the word Christian is in the Bible. And what's so funny is the first time we were there, one time we hear the word Christian was spoken by a person who wasn't Christian, King Agrippa, not given a Bible study, but he was getting preached to by Paul the Apostle, and King Agrippa had actually said, wait, are you trying to convert me to be a Christian like you? So that is in the King James, the New Living Translation. So yeah, it's in there. But again, just like with these pagan days that you had mentioned, it's people. And again, I just have to, and I'm not trying to have the last word with you, it's just Christianity means one thing to you, and it means another thing to me. Christianity is something that you denounce because of what it represented.
Don't give me a wrap up away now, Tony.
Okay, but
we're at the 10-minute mark. Let the doctor.
I say Christianity was misrepresented by men and women, and that's when it got filtered to you. To have Christianity truly given to you by God, by the precious comforter, the Holy Ghost, it was designed to embrace and not to be denounced. But the Lord understands that. You know, so I'm just saying with colonial Christianity, it was flawed from the beginning. Colonial Christianity was flawed from the beginning, and it has really seeped its way into 2021. Unfortunately, we are calling Christianity really what colonial Christianity is, just like you cannot call a Christian value what a Catholic value, because the value system is a different. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, no, and I agree, but for all of that confusion comes in because of the religiosity that has adopted and taken those words. So my goal is not to defend the word of Christianity, but is to walk the way of Jesus Christ. And the best way to walk is to remove myself from a religion that I have to now sit down and study what was taught to me as truth in an effort. What was taught to me as lies in this religion? What can I embrace in this religion versus what I can't embrace in this religion? And so for me, the biggest thing is when in Revelation chapter 18, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plague. That was talking to Babylon. Babylon, again, was an empire that had a religion that claimed to be true. But the reality of the religion was wrong. So I take what the Most High is saying here, is that I need to come out of that religion. Just like the N word, N-I-G-G-E-R. I don't believe the traditional main purpose of that word is what we are saying today. But I'm not going to try to live my life to transform that word. I'm going to live my life to be a transformer of the lives of the people that are being denounced or degraded, not only by that word, but the society we're living in.
Okay. Let me jump real quick and get... Yeah, please. Yeah, because she...
Dr. Marla, can you hear us? Can you talk?
Dr. Marla, can you hear us?
Dr. Marla, can you hear us? Yeah, she's heading into an appointment. Yeah, okay. I think she's going to get her shot. But what I was, what I wanted her to, and Dr. Marla, if you can hear us, I hope you can chime in. I wanted you to speak to Dana's point about that type of Christianity and how you view it as Christianity and colonial Christianity. Can you hear me? And can you say that? Can you talk? No, she may not
give you.
Okay, that's all right.
But
Sam, go ahead.
Oh no. We're at the 9-minute mark, so I wanted to go around and give everybody, you know, time to get some final thoughts because she came in and she drove. She told me she had an appointment to go to, but she still hung in there with us. So we definitely, if she's still listening, get her on for final thoughts. But you know, Tony, you can guide it around, and Dana made a lot of time. Okay.
Dr. Marla, can you talk now? Okay, now she can't hear us.
She's not getting us down. She's just with us. She's outside.
Okay. Sam, can you mute her? Because she can't hear us.
Yeah.
Okay, John, what I want to do, I want me and Brother Dana to go last. But John, you know, because you, and I'm not saying you represent Islam on this show, but you are a great representation of Islam on this show. And especially for something like this today, because me and you talk and we have different views, but there's never any type of confrontation where it leads into anger, you know, and simmering boiling temperatures. So, you know, what do you want to end this show with?
Yes. David mentioned about chosen people. And the question that comes to my mind, and I want everyone to think about Dr. Facey's present again, so I don't know if she's able to speak. I'll shut up if she can. What I wanted to ask is for everyone to ask themselves, what is the purpose of a chosen people? What is God's desire for that people? And I listened to Dana talk about an innate ability. And these people represent God's favor, God's blessing. And they will be the ones who guard us in and bring, you know, he touched on something that was so important. He talked about black people in America's ability to forgive, black people's ability to love. I don't know of any greater example of what love is than what has been done to a people here for 400 years and still have the ability to see a Dana and embrace him and say, you my brother, I love you. There's no greater, because we put so much demand on white America to apologize for slavery. But we don't put no demands on Africa, who also sold us into slavery, for an apology. Africa owes the black man in America an apology as well. But the greater way to show that God's way is to have done to us and still have the ability to love, to forgive, to show kindness. That's the purpose, in my opinion, of the chosen people, to show the people God's true way. And you have to have been through something. I can speak on being incarcerated for 24 years and coming out of prison
without no animosity towards society or anybody. Oh, this white guy told on me, this guy told me. She come out and say, you know what? I learned how to love God was in there. I don't hate judges. I don't hate prosecutors. I don't hate cops. And this is what I'm talking about with black people in America. They went through so much and still have the ability to love. And on that note, Tom, I wanted to say thank you for allowing me to be part of this discussion, man, because it's important. It's not about names and titles for me. It's about reaching other people, man, and making other people's lives better. I informed Dr. Facey because she talked about adopting and bringing people into her life and making their lives better. That's what life is, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, speaking of Dr. Marla, Dr. Marla, can you hear us? Are you able to give us a parting word? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, please, with the time we have, just give us some parting words. We want to go to Brother Dan, and then I'll kind of say my goodbyes.
I really wanted to talk more on the area where I can understand what Brother Dana had to say. I agree with a lot of things, but it all goes back to your relationship with the God that you serve. The God that I serve tells me that I need to love and forgive. I need to go, in order to be set free, I have to accept Christ as my personal Savior. And so that's what I stand on. That's the word I stand on. I'm not going to change for anybody. But it's not that religion that the white man or people brought over here to us. It's about getting a personal relationship with God for ourselves. And so for me, that's the end of it. But at the same time, I do understand that those things are important. I'm not saying they're not important, but they are things that we can't just keep staying on the same thing. We have to climb higher, get to the next level, and do better. We got to do better, we got to be better, and we got to be about our Father's business. And when we sit up there and we use those reasons to say that we don't want to be a part of something, are we really making a difference? I have to ask myself, am I really making a difference if I'm telling the truth? That's good. Always tell the truth. But in telling the truth, am I making it a reason why I don't want to do anything for certain people or certain types of people and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
We already know that Christianity is a hypocrisy because it's nothing real. It's not a spiritual. It's man-made. That's a man-made thing. You know, Christianity is. But my religion is. That's a pharisaical type of thing, Pharisee type of thing. But I want to get deeper into how these modern-day Pharisees are. I would call it that.
American, there you go.
You know, and I call it the Trumponian. When are we going to get to the point where we can love our brothers and sisters no matter what color they are? When are we going to get to the point where we can forgive our brothers and sisters no matter what and know that we serve a true and living God? You know, and so I do want to be invited to that. I really do want to get into it.
Yes.
The Saturday, we never have anything to do with this Saturday all of a sudden. You know, but I want to get together again and really go deeper into this because it's not necessarily all about the beginning, how it began, but what are we willing to do now to change things? What are we doing now within ourselves to change our little bit? So we can't change everything, but we can change. What are we doing in our home? You know, what are we doing in our, you know, things like that? And it does start. It starts of understanding where we come from, but we don't gotta stay where we come from. It's time to move on up, reach up higher, a little bit higher. And so for people that have questions like Brother Stan and you know, the other young brothers that just talked about what certain things really are, we can get into all that, but really just it goes back to your personal relationship.
Well, we're going to have you back, trust me.
Yeah, we're going to do a part two.
Yeah, don't worry about that. We're
going to do a part two.
Yeah, because this show isn't long enough for that. But Dr. Marla, God bless you. Thank you. Okay, Stan will make sure to send the invites out. I'm glad you came. You know, go ahead and take care of what you got to take care of. And we will see you next time on the show, okay? God bless you all.
Come on.
God bless you.
Brother Danny, you got 3 minutes, man. Take the whole 3 minutes, man. Only we do 1 minute. But you take 3 minutes.
I'll try to be quicker. This is where I have gotten in my walking out of Christianity, is that I put my religion of Christianity on the same chopping block that Christianity puts every other religion. They have scrutinized Christianity the same way they have scrutinized Mormons, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, of things that they say those religions have taught that are false. When I've done that to Christianity, then I need to act the same way Christianity asks me to act with other religions. Run from them. And that's why I run from Christianity. Because we have judged, you know, we judge the Jehovah's Witnesses because they don't want to celebrate Easter or Christmas. We have judged Jehovah's Witnesses because they believe that Jesus put his hands like this and not like this, like Christianity. We judge the Muslims because of this and this. And yet we've never judged ourselves on those same standards. Because if we did, we would realize that we're just as much of liars and hypocrites than those other religions are. The only difference that I might say with Christianity is that, yes, we teach people to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But even in that, the image of the Jesus Christ that we tell people to worship is still to make them think that a white man sits on top. When I was in Ghana, I just got this full feeling that I hated when I was walking around and I finally looked at a Christian and Calvin and I said, what are people thinking when I walk around? And Calvin, who was 50-some years old, looked at me and said, well, brother, he said, we were taught growing up that when you see a white man, you have seen Jesus. And I wept because that's the destruction of Christianity. It is so ingrained. And so I'll end with those words. Let's put the religion of Christianity on the same chopping block that we have put every other religion. And at the end of the day, you're going to see that our religion is just as ungodly and horrible as the other religions. Therefore, I'm not going to live my life to transform the name of a religion, but I'm going to live my life as a follower of Yahshua, which then doesn't block out my brother John because he may worship Islam. Doesn't block out my brother who is walking as a Mormon. Because I'm not walking in the name of a religion. I'm walking in the name of my Messiah, Jesus or Yahshua HaMashiach. And hopefully, even before they read the Bible, they see the Bible in me, living my life the way that Jesus Christ did. So I probably be over.
Okay, no, you're good. All right.
No, bro.
Before we get to Sam and do the final.
No, Tony, you're good. No, you close the show out. I'm going to the doctor and to Dana, thank you. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, well, no problem. Okay, now here's how I want to end it. I want to just kind of review this just for anybody who came late. Again, Columbus rediscovered this country in 1492. The first Africans came to this country as slaves in 1619. America wasn't the country she is now until 157 years later, in 1776. By the time America came, so America was founded with the principle that black-skinned people were already inferior and were not all human. Now, when you fast forward that, you ask somebody who's white, who's Irish, who's Italian. Well, Tony, what's it got to do with me? Do you want my money? Am I to be blamed for slavery? I want America in 2021. I want to end this show with you thinking about this. Campfire talk, man. Racism in America is like buying an old house. I love old homes. We
When you buy an old home, you already know you gotta fix the plumbing, the electrical. These things were already broken before you got in the home. So when you get an old home, do you say, I didn't mess up the plumbing, I didn't put that electrical in that one, why am I going to fix it? If you like to take that home in that country, it is your responsibility to do what you can to fix it. We're not saying fix the whole neighborhood, just your home. Well, Tony, how do I do that? When your daughter comes home and she asks you, Mom, what's a nigger? Do you say, oh, honey, I know you heard me say that. What talk do you have as white people? We have a talk as black people. White people, what talk do you have? Do you say, don't you ever let me hear you say that word? That's a mean word. Or do you say, oh, you know what? That's just how we talk about it. There you go. That's how you don't fix the plumbing in that old house. When little Johnny B. Good walks in the door and wants to understand why Darnell Shaniqua can't come over to the house, and the dad says, you tell them to wait in the car. We don't let them in the house. You're part of the problem. That's what you can do. You see something wrong being done, take your phone out, take a picture. Don't just walk by and say, I guess he deserves it. I don't know what he did. Why not comply? You're part of the problem. Racism in this country, again, is like buying an old house. We're not asking you to repair the entire block, the entire community. Just fix what you can fix. It's all we've ever asked for, and allow us to fix our homes as well. Thank you for this show. I appreciate all of you. I want to give thanks to Sam for letting us have the vehicle. Brother John, Brother Dana, Dr. Marlon will be back. We'll be doing a part two on this. But I bless all of you in Jesus' name. I thank you for joining. Everybody, be safe and take care of each other. Thank you, Sam.
All right. See y'all.